It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 13 in the National Football League, and it is go time, crunch time in fantasy football. So you have come to the right place. It's the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast presented by FanVice.com, your one-stop shop for all your daily fantasy sports needs. They got great tools, articles, live streaming video casts. Make sure you follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS. Check out the site, FanVice.com. Evan, every week matters now. This is gigantic. I think I'm right there in all my leagues in the playoff race and have a great chance to make the postseason, especially all the leagues with our listeners, the Reality Sports Online League, definitely the season-long league. I got to check, but I think I'm in the money right now, my friend. So let's make sure that we are ready to rock and roll. And let's make sure that we are prepared so that we can keep winning, or I can keep winning at least, and we can go ahead and make the playoffs. Because then in the playoffs, anything can happen, as they say. Before we get into that, though, I should mention that DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. No season-long commitments to busts, bench warmers, injured guys. Never again with DraftKings do you have to comb the waiver wire at 2 a.m. Every week is a brand new season and a brand new challenge, and the 50-50 contests might be where it's at. Do not wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com now. Just use the code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit. That's code FEAST to play free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. All right, Evan, let's just do the one, as we talked about, and we kind of did it last week. We're going to do the one big thing that you need to know about for each team in their fantasy matchup. And obviously, based on what we say about the passing game or the running game or the certain player, you can take a lot about what that means for the other players on offense in that matchup. And if there's ever anything even more specific you want, Evan's got that for you in his column over at rotoworld.com, where he literally writes up every fantasy player on every team. I can't believe you actually do that, by the way, but it's really, really impressive. But a lot of that stuff is kind of common sense. We're going to tell you what's interesting, the thing that you need to know. So let's talk Dallas Cowboys against Minnesota. Kind of a pretty good, juicy Thursday night game for the Cowboys. Evan, going against a pretty good Vikings defense, not as good as they were earlier in the year, but still a good Vikings defense. Where's your level of concern there for the Cowboys, whether it's with Dez or Zeke or Dak or whoever? What's the big thing to know for the Cowboys offense going against the Vikings D?
I think that the one player to be concerned about maybe not meeting expectations would be Dez Bryant against the Vikings secondary. I think that we'll see Xavier Rhodes chase him around the field. Xavier Rhodes has allowed one touchdown all year. It was to DeAndre Hopkins, I believe, way back in week 7. And that touchdown actually occurred in garbage time of that game. So, I think that, you know, I don't think you want to bench Dez Bryant in a season-long league for sure. I mean, he has 70-plus yards and or a touchdown in 6 of his last 7 games. You know, he faced off with Josh Norman a lot last week, not on every play, but a lot last week. He still came out with 5 catches and over 70 yards, so a useful fantasy week. But that can, you know, that can impact other players as well. I think Cole Beasley becomes a little bit interesting in the slot. Cole Beasley has caught 5 passes or more in 8 of 11 games this year. The Vikings have struggled at times with tight ends this year. Eric Ebron, you know, went against that trend last week. Just, you know, was not a big part of that game at all. One target, no catches. But for most of the year, tight ends have given the Vikings problems in the middle of the field. And I think Jason Witten is an okay streamer if you need help. Zeke Elliott stands out as the best play for the Cowboys. Of course, the Vikings have not been great in run defense over their last 8 games, giving up over 4.5 yards per carry to opposing running backs. So Zeke should be good to go.
What about the Vikings offensively, where we are recording this Wednesday, 9:20 a.m. Eastern time? Obviously, Diggs did not play on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. What do you see from them against the Cowboys' defense? What's the one big takeaway for the Vikings on O?
Well, they need Diggs in this game. I mean, the way that you – the best way to go after the Cowboys right now is to go at them in the passing game. I mean, their run defense has been strong this year. And they've been giving up a lot of production to interior receivers. Diggs, since Pat Shurmur took over, has been 70 to 80% slot receiver. And Orlando Scandrick has not looked good for a while now. He had injuries to both hamstrings early in the season. Jamison Crowder in the Cowboys' last game had 8 catches for 88 yards against them. I mean, if you can just go back through the line, like all the slot receivers that have played the Cowboys over the last 5-6 games have been very productive. So Stephon Diggs stands out as a good fantasy play in this game. The question, of course, is with his health. And in the games where he has been on the injury report, he has been significantly less productive. And he's on the injury report this week. But at the same time, he also had, you know, about a 2-week layoff between games because he did not play on Thanksgiving. You know, the rest, this offense is ugly, man. Like, they don't score points. I think that Rudolph is a good start, though, against the Cowboys, who have given up a ton of production to tight ends. You know, I think that with Diggs back, not really looking at Adam Thielen anymore, not really looking at Cordero Patterson anymore.
Kansas City is at Atlanta, Evan. I'm going to be there. Looking forward to it. Let's start with the Chiefs offensively. Falcons will be without Trufant. He's on IR. And Adrian Claiborne is out at least 3 or 4 weeks. So they're without both those guys. I have to think that Atlanta will be quite well aware of where Tyreek Hill is at all times.
Yeah, they better be. They better be. But they're, you know, they're out there with a bunch of, with no Trufant, they're out there with a bunch of kind of second-rate DBs. And, you know, Vic Beasley has rushed the passer well, but, I mean, Adrian Claiborne was their second-best pass rusher. So, I mean, Tyreek has been getting it done every single week. And, I mean, he, even with, I think, if Macklin is on the field, Tyreek is a guy that the Chiefs need to keep in the lineup because he's their most dynamic player on offense at this point and very much useful in fantasy. A little bit notable that Spencer Ware last week lost more snaps than usual to Charkandrick West. I think that was just a function of that specific game. You know, maybe to combat the Broncos' pass rush. Charkandrick West is a guy that the Chiefs trust in pass protection. I mean, Spencer Ware isn't bad in pass protection either, but, you know, I think that that was just specific to that game. Tre'Kendrick West still only had 3 touches on offense. Spencer Ware had 19, so not worried about Spencer Ware losing his job. But, yeah, I think that in the passing game, Tyreek Hill is the guy to look at. I also think that Travis Kelce's picked it up recently. I mean, he's got 300-yard games in the last 5 weeks. That is pretty impressive for a tight end. You know, you don't see tight ends having 100-yard games like that, but Travis Kelce is. And I think that this game has some high scoring potential. I don't think that the Falcons are going to struggle to score points against the Chiefs. You know, we saw Trevor Siemian light the Chiefs up pretty good last week, and now the Falcons are getting them in the dome. Love Julio this week for the Falcons. I think that Matt Ryan has a shot at a big game as well. I mean, opposing quarterbacks have not struggled to have productive games against Kansas City this year, and Matt Ryan has been particularly good inside the dome. Also worth noting for the Falcons running game, Tevin Coleman came back. He did score a short TD, but Devonta Freeman remains the man there, 18 touches to Tevin Coleman's 10. But I think this is a true blow-up spot for Julio Jones. He should get a lot of routes at Phillip Gaines because the Chiefs don't move Marcus Peters around. Phillip Gaines got scorched on Thursday night. I mean, over 200 yards allowed in 2 touchdowns. So this is a real, real, real prime spot here for Julio.
Got it. Let's move on. It's the Dolphins and the Ravens, Evan. It's in Baltimore. Ravens defense, in particular run defense, has been pretty darn good. Should we expect Tannehill putting it up early and often to Devontae Parker and the guys?
Yeah, Devontae Parker left last game with a back injury, and I don't know. I guess he's supposed to be okay. I think that this is a real ugly game on both sides. I mean, 41-point game total, and I wouldn't even be surprised if it drops a little bit past that. You know, it's a real tough spot for Jay Ajayi. Ryan Tannehill has strung together now 3 games in a row of multiple touchdown passes. I would not expect that to continue on the road in Baltimore. I think that this, especially if Parker misses, although it seems like he's got a good shot to play. I think this is a bounce back spot for Jarvis Landry, who has been, you know, it's been slow for him recently, but slot receivers giving the Ravens a lot of trouble recently. They are using journeyman Jerod Powers in the slot. And I think that this is a game where the Dolphins will probably struggle to run it. Might abandon it early in the game. I mean, they're a running team, so they're not going to totally give up on it, but may kind of acknowledge, all right, you know, this is going to be tough for us to run against the Ravens. And they go to Landry more on short, quick hitters. So, you know, those are always high percentage throws. I think that Jarvis Landry has a shot at a good game against the Ravens.
What about the Ravens offensively against the Dolphins defense?
Well, the big notable from last week's game was that the Ravens led the entire game. So you would sort of think that Terrence West would end up getting a lot of work because the Ravens were in positive game flow. But Terrence West actually ended up out-snapping and out-touching Terrence West for the first time all year. So it seemed like there might have been a changing of the guard there in the Ravens' backfield. Kenneth Dixon had 17 touches. He outgained Terrence West. He was used a lot in the passing game. The Dolphins are mediocre or a little bit below average in run defense. And I think that this is a game where we should see Dixon get 16, 17, 18, 19 touches, somewhere in that range, in a pretty good matchup. He gives you passing game value. And I thought it was really promising to see that touch distribution start to lean in Kenneth Dixon's favor in a game where the Ravens were leading. So Kenneth Dixon, I mean, he's a legitimate fantasy option right now.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's keep it moving, and let's go to San Francisco in Chicago, where both quarterbacks actually had interesting fantasy days last week. Let's start with Kaepernick and Carlos Hyde. Is Kaepernick a thing now for fantasy football?
Oh, man. Heck yes. Heck yes. He's a machine. I mean, he's a machine. And, you know, I think that the Bears will probably have trouble defending the 49ers offense without both of their inside linebackers who, I mean, that, you know, that's the Vic Fangio defense is built around those guys. Danny Trevathan suffered a ruptured patella tendon last week. Jarrell Freeman is on suspension for PEDs. The Bears paid a lot of money for these guys. Going back to San Francisco, Vic Fangio has placed more emphasis on the inside linebacker position than, you know, most defenses. You know, he had Patrick Willis and all those guys in Navarro Bowman in San Francisco. And I think they were trying to kind of recreate a defense in that image in Chicago, but they're going to be missing both of those guys against San Francisco. So Colin Kaepernick, yeah, I mean, he's been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in four straight weeks now. Also like Carlos Hyde a lot in this game. The pass catcher to look at is Vance McDonald, who has six or more targets in five straight games, 50 plus yards and or a touchdown in each of Kaepernick's last four starts. All the wide receivers are way too inconsistent to really take seriously in fantasy. Vance McDonald has been consistent, and the Bears are vulnerable to tight ends in the running game because of the losses of those inside linebackers. I mean, I think that Colin Kaepernick should be real solid, and his best target is Vance, and Carlos Hyde is also in a pretty good spot.
Nice. What about the other side, Chicago offensively against the Niners D? Barkley, I got to give him credit. He did a little better than I thought he would.
Yeah, me too. And, I mean, a lot of it occurred in the second half. A lot on the final couple of drives. But he also had, I mean, the Bears receivers dropped 11 passes. So, you know, it could have been a much bigger day. And there were two plays among the Bears, on the Bears' final possession, where they actually could have pulled out the win, but receivers dropped passes in the end zone. And they wound up losing by, I think, 6 points. So Barkley almost led the upset. His favorite receiver was Marcus Wilson, who has kind of teased us before and then got injured. I mean, he's in his fourth year. He's always had a lot of talent, a guy who slipped in the draft due to some off-field stuff with Mike Leach at Washington State. But definitely a talented player, and he played 60% of the snaps last week. He saw 11 targets. You know, left yards on the field with drops like the rest of the Bears receivers did, but he is certainly in play against San Francisco, which has struggled against big receivers all year long. Marcus Wilson is about 6'3", 200 pounds. Cameron Meredith would be the other guy to look at from the Bears receiver core. He actually had 4 drops last week, but he entered that game with only 1 drop all season. So that seemed kind of fluky and specific to that game. We're not really looking at him beyond deeper leagues or maybe DFS, but a guy to talk about. And then Jordan Howard should be all systems go here. I mean, the Bears have lost offensive linemen in recent games, but their running game has stayed on track. It's not like Jay Ajayi and the Dolphins where they have a couple of guys out and then they can't run the ball against San Francisco. The Bears have continued to run the ball successfully, even though they have lost offensive linemen. I mean, I think that Jordan Howard's kind of running style probably plays a role in that. I mean, he doesn't waste any steps. So, whereas it was a concern last week that Ajayi was without a couple offensive linemen, it's not as concerning for Jordan Howard that he's missing Kyle Long and probably Josh Sitton because he has produced without them recently.
Let's get to Philadelphia and Cincinnati. We'll start with Philadelphia. It's been disappointing from a team perspective. They ran the ball 5 times on their opening drive Monday night against the Packers, and then 9 times the rest of the game. Jordan Matthews will play in this game. Ryan Matthews' status, I guess, still up in the air. And the Bengals have actually played, Evan, pretty good defense.
Yeah, I think this is kind of another ugly game for fantasy. Zach Ertz disappointed me against Green Bay, but it's another good matchup for him. I mean, the Bengals have been bad against tight ends. They signed Carlos Dansby to kind of be their tight end stopper, but Carlos Dansby is just kind of done. So, you can't have big fantasy expectations for anybody on the Eagles at this point. But Ertz and Jordan Matthews are guys that can get you by. And then, we're always looking at the running game, but not ever really getting big games from the running game.
Then how about Cincinnati in this one? Anything especially noteworthy for them?
I mean, Brandon LaFell got a lot of targets again last week, but he didn't do anything with them, and that's just kind of the story with Brandon LaFell. Tyler Boyd was solid. 5 catches for 62, was, again, very involved, and I would expect that to continue against the Eagles. Randall Cobb, another slot receiver like Tyler Boyd, had a bunch of catches against this same secondary. So Tyler Boyd in PPR, he's in the mix this week. Jeremy Hill had 18 touches, 6 catches, and I think a lot of that had to do with the flow of the game because he was actually out-snapped by Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead wound up playing 51% of the Bengals' offensive snaps last week. Jeremy Hill had 49%. Now the Bengals are back home. Their passing game is just – it's not great without A.J. Green. They lost Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu in the offseason, and now they're without their best player. And, it was very focused on Tyler Eifert last week, and I would expect that to continue. This is another bad matchup for Tyler Eifert. Last week was 2 against the Ravens. But when he's going to be the focal point of your passing game, Tyler Eifert should be able to come through in fantasy. I mean, he saw 11 targets last week.
Houston is in Green Bay. And if you thought that maybe the Texans would pick up where they left off offensively against the Oakland Raiders, it did not happen against the Chargers. Now they go to Lambeau, Evan, where the Packers defense played a little bit better on Monday night against the Eagles. What do we need to know from a Houston offensive skill position player standpoint?
I think that it's time for Bill O'Brien to consider putting in Tom Savage. And I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see that happen within, you know, the next six quarters. The Packers have been bad in defense for the last month and a half at least. But I don't have really any faith in Brock Osweiler really turning things around. I think that the guys worth starting in fantasy this week would be C.J. Fedorowicz and Lamar Miller, and then, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, of course, but the expectations for him have been so severely reduced. Will Fuller came back last week, but he made a couple plays, and that was nice to see, but he's still not really somebody that I would be willing to trust. Lamar Miller left last week's game with an ankle injury, which I think was an aggravation of a previous ankle injury. Bill O'Brien says he's going to be fine, but that's a situation to monitor this week. I think that even though Zachers disappointed against the Packers in this last game, you know, this is still a defense that has been giving up a lot to tight ends recently. C.J. Fedorowicz has been the most reliable pass catcher on the Texans this year. And I think that he is the guy to maybe look at in DFS this week.
What about the Packers on the other side? Aaron Rodgers was masterful. Davante Adams continues to produce. But yeah. I want to know about Aaron Ripkowski and where he should be in my fantasy lineup.
No. I was playing this two-game slate, which involves the Monday night game and the upcoming Thursday game in Daily Fantasy, and people didn't use Davante Adams on that slate, which really surprised me. I would argue that he's been the best Packers, the best receiver that the Packers have this year. Definitely like the biggest playmaker. But I guess people are still not buying into him. That may be an indication that people just generally undervalue him. You know, Jordy Nelson is going to be 32 next season. You know, I wonder if Davante Adams, like in a dynasty league, if you couldn't buy him high right now and actually end up getting him for less than he is actually worth. He's legitimate now. This has been going on since the first two games of the season. I mean, we have a 9-game sample here. He's a legitimately good player who, you know, just got off to a slow start in his career. The Texans have a good pass defense, but in Lambeau, Aaron Rodgers should roll. Davante Adams, Jordy, Cobb, all good plays. Jared Cook did what Jared Cook does, and that's have a monster game and then disappear. You know, he's a crapshoot week to week. You know, he's a classic boom bust guy who just usually busts. Sometimes he'll boom, but he usually busts. The running game is still mainly James Starks, but they are not running the ball well. So what you're hoping for James Starks, I think, are a bunch of receptions, which he's capable of giving us. This is a passing team, and they know it, and they act like it. I mean, they're going to throw the ball.
Denver is in Jacksonville, Evan. Let's start with Denver, where I thought Simeon made some really good plays and showed me something the other night. Obviously, their offensive line was really struggling with Justin Houston. I thought Simeon held in there. Now they just got Jacksonville.
Yeah, for sure. The Jaguars have only allowed one quarterback against them to hit 280 passing yards all year. So the way that teams usually attack the Jaguars is they try to run it on them. And, you know, the thing is, though, with the Broncos, their running game is kind of stuck in mud right now. Devontae Booker has continued to see a lot of work, but he has been ineffective. I mean, he's, you know, he runs up to the line and, like, falls on the pile a lot. But he's getting that work, and this is a pretty good matchup. You know, I don't see the Jaguars putting up many points in this game, and the Broncos should be able to, you know, kind of stay on schedule with their offense. The matchups are difficult in the passing game for the Broncos. You know, this is a legitimately solid pass defense with a lot of good players in the back seven. They get a decent to below average amount of pressure, but the Broncos' offensive line is bad enough that we may see the Jaguars get more pressure than usual this week. I don't think that we're going to see a repeat performance from Simeon. I think that Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders are solid, not spectacular fantasy plays this week. And then with Booker, you're really just hanging your hat on how much work he is getting. You know, people in a lot of season-long leagues just need guys to get them carries and touches and yards, period, from the running back position, because it gets so wrecked by injury. And, you know, Booker has at least been getting work.
What about the Jags?
I don't think that there are any edges for the Jaguars offense in this game.
Good. All right. Los Angeles is in New England. Your boy Jared Goff looked a little bit better.
Yeah, for a couple of quarters, and then he kind of just went back in his shell. I don't want to use any Rams in fantasy. Again, I know that the Patriots have a weak defense. I know that Todd Gurley gets, you know, he gets work, and he can tease with like one good play per game. That seems to be his ceiling. But I don't want to use any Rams at all in fantasy. I don't trust any of them.
All right. Well, then what about the Patriots against the Rams D in that one? Obviously, there's some injury things to watch, like Gronk.
Yeah. Ross, why don't you put on your Belichick hat, and I'll give you what my game plan for this game would be. But I want you to put on your Belichick hat and tell me, what do you think offensively the Patriots should do here?
I don't play Gronkowski because I need him to be healthy 100% or as close to it later.
Yeah.
Brady's beat up, so I lean heavily on the run game. I try to run at the pass rushers for the Rams to slow them down. And in the passing game, it's all quick, out of my hands immediately from Brady to Edelman and Amendola and the underneath guys, because the only thing I don't want for sure is Brady taking any more hits.
Love it, man. Love it, because that's exactly what I was going to say. The Saints last week did exactly that, what you were talking about in the passing game. And that's one of the reasons that Brandon Cooks didn't do anything, which we'll get to in a minute. But, I mean, Breeze only attempted four passes over 15 yards. You know, it was all get the ball out of his hands quickly stuff. And so I would expect, you know, the Patriots to do something similar when they're dropping back to pass. And then a lot of LeGarrette Blount. I mean, the Rams have not played good run defense recently. They have given up almost 6 yards per carry to opposing running backs over their last three games. They are on the road from Los Angeles to Foxborough. I mean, that's
3,000 miles. The Patriots are favored by 2 touchdowns almost in this game. It sets up pretty well, I think, for LeGarrette Blount. Malcolm Mitchell is a guy that we need to talk about. I don't think this game sets up real well for him, but they used him as a full-time player last week. That's a really good sign for him because Chris Hogan was actually back in the lineup, and Malcolm Mitchell continues to make plays. Man, he's a stud in the making, I think. I think the Patriots finally hit on a receiver pick. Hopefully he can stay healthy because that was his issue at Georgia.
Let's keep it moving, and let's get to Detroit and New Orleans, the last game here in part one. It's a 1 o'clock game. The Lions at the Saints in the Superdome, who put it on the Rams on Sunday.
Yeah, big time, man. Drew Brees, I think, accounted for 5 touchdowns. I don't think that they're going to slow down. Drew Brees has played 6 games at the Superdome this year. He has finished as a top 9 fantasy quarterback in all 6 of those games. And the only ones where he has not finished as a top 5 fantasy quarterback were against Denver and Seattle. So he should be about as close to a lock as a quarterback pick can be. His price is reflective of that in daily fantasy, but he's tough for me to not pay up for this week against Detroit, which Football Outsiders has rated as the worst pass defense in the league. I think that they're better than that because they haven't been giving up a lot of points recently, and second of all, they've gotten healthier. It doesn't matter for against Drew Brees. Brandon Cooks, 0 targets last week. The beat writer Nick Underhill did a really good job of pointing out that the Rams on a lot of passing plays would have 2 and 3, even 3 guys sometimes in Brandon Cooks' area trying to make sure that he didn't rip them up for big plays. And that led to a big game for Josh Hill, the Saints' number 2 tight end, who's actually their number 1 tight end because he plays more than Kobe Fleener. He had a kind of a breakout game. Michael Thomas just went completely off. He was in single coverage all game with EJ Gaines, who has had a really bad year for the Rams, and I mean just tore him apart. The good news for Brandon Cooks is that those other guys stepped up because, that game plan that the Rams had did not work. So, you know, are the Lions going to try to copy that? You know, probably not. Are they going to be worried about Brandon Cooks? Of course, but you know, that game plan proved very, very unsuccessful. I mean, the Rams got torched on the ground as well, trying to devote guys to shutting down Brandon Cooks. With that said, I mean, Michael Thomas, I think it would be tough to argue that right now that he's not the Saints' number 1 wide receiver. It's reflected in how many snaps he plays, how many targets he gets. I mean, he leads the team in receiving. He leads the team in red zone targets. You know, he plays more than Brandon Cooks and Willie Snead. So he's the number 1. I still think this is an awesome spot for Brandon Cooks. I think that he bounces back. I think it's a good spot for everyone on the Saints. The running game has been like dominant for the last 3 or 4 games. Mark Ingram has outproduced Tim Hightower, but Tim Hightower gives the Saints like a sustaining element. You know, he will get you 3, 4, 5 yards on almost every carry. and, you know, keep your offense on schedule and keep the chains moving. So I don't think that he is going to go away. He's also really good in the passing game. I think it's going to continue to be a pretty even timeshare, but on a team that runs the most plays in the league and on a team that is just having a lot of running game success, period, both of these guys can continue to produce in fantasy. And, you know, we usually think, oh, running back by committee, that stinks. But in this case, both of these guys are useful, and I would expect them to continue to be useful at home in a game where they should be able to score a lot of points, get a lot of plays, and just have a lot of opportunities against the Lions.
What about the Lions offensively in the dome? Who do you like or who do you not like for them?
Well, Marvin Jones's price is way down in daily fantasy. And I mean, there's a reason for that. It's because he hasn't really been doing anything lately. But he did see 11 targets in the Lions' last game on Thanksgiving, which was a little bit surprising, against the Vikings. But, you know, in order for the Lions to have an explosive passing game, like, they need Marvin Jones to make plays, especially, you know, when Eric Ebron is going to be, you know, is going to like disappear. So I think that Marvin Jones is a really interesting daily fantasy play this week. It should be noted though that the Saints have played a lot better defense over their last five or six games. They're running out like a ragtag secondary, but they are defending the run pretty well. They've got Delvin Bro and Sheldon Rankins back from injuries, and they can get pass rush. The Lions offense is specifically designed to kind of mitigate pass rush because, you know, their offense is so heavily built on quick-hitting pass plays. But I'm not sure that, you know, we are naturally, it's ingrained in us to think that the Saints are an incredible matchup for fantasy. And, I mean, look, the Lions could easily go to the Superdome and score 30. I don't know about easily. I think that they could easily go score 24, maybe 27. And this game could be a massive shootout. But with the way that the Saints have been playing for the last month and a half, you know, I'm not saying that they're Denver or Seattle, but they are a defense that we should respect at this point. So the last guy that I like from this game would be Theo Riddick. The Saints have allowed the fourth most receiving yards to opposing running backs. I think this is a game where the Saints will not struggle to score points against the Lions defense, put the Lions in position where they are playing from behind. And Theo Riddick should be on the field almost this entire game. We should not see a whole lot of Dwayne Washington. I wouldn't think Dwayne Washington has really been struggling against just his presence on the field, like, gives away what the Lions are going to do. You can't play like that. So I think that this has a chance to be a big game for Theo Riddick.
All right. Good stuff, Evan. That'll do it for the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast presented by my dudes over at fanvice.com. Keep an eye out for my Tucker in the Trenches segment. They usually post it on Saturdays. I retweet it. That's when I look at the trenches and give you an advantage in DFS. It's on fanvice.com every week this NFL season, and you can make sure you don't miss it if you follow them on Twitter, at FanviceDFS. Other than that, you know the deal. Spread the word via social media. It helps oh so much. We love getting email questions from you, by the way. Specific email questions for Evan? Why not? Send it to us, ross@rostucker.com. You got a sponsor confirmation from any of our various sponsors? Boom. we will go ahead and guarantee that you'll be able to hear that question answered. Other than that, I am stuffed with part one, but I saved a little bit of room for part two.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.